No. All right. So, being that last week we spoke a lot about Shaul HaMelech, I do want to make a correction, and that is that the Haftorah, that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, that always trumps the portion of the week, had one exception, and that was this Shabbos, the last Shabbos. Between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, we have seven Shabbos Sois, where people wrongfully say Shabbosim. Okay, that's the slang. And there was a theme. All of the seven are expressing words of consolation because we come off mourning. And just like it's important to grieve, and many people don't appreciate the importance of grieving, it's just as important after grieving in the right frame to console yourself. And we need 7 weeks of consoling for Tisha B'Av. So that's why the theme of last week was not the one that we spoke about. Having said that, moving on, there was something about this parsha that's extremely significant. We, I think, many a time touched upon one little part of it, and I want to make it hopefully more comprehensive. So let's begin from the beginning. What's the name of the parsha of this week? It's okay. Shoiftim. Shoiftim is the plural for shoifet. Happens to be that in Nach, after Yehoshua, what comes after Yehoshua? Shoiftim. So we have Shoiftim literally means judges. But as we'll explain in a moment, Shoiftim, according to Kabbalah, judges and underlines the need for people, I'm going to use this word, to self-regulate. The opposite of self-regulation is what we will refer to in this talk, a system in which we have a king. We go from Shoiftim to Melachim. And Shmuel was the middle prophet that took us away from the era of prophets, which are also under the category of Shoiftim. We'll explain that in a moment. And then we took a step down when we asked God to give us a king. Self-regulating versus, since I can't self-regulate yet, I want to be in a setting where there is some greater authority than myself, the king, that will just make sure that nothing happens in my environment that might trigger something that would demand of me my responsibility to self-regulate. What would we want for our children? Do we want for them to be in an environment where they will not be challenged? We are then acting as the kings, and there was a place for that, there was a time for that, especially when people are younger. And then inevitably, we have to really stop resisting, but actually we have to partner with the fact that there isn't a foolproof environment, and one needs to learn how to develop the muscles, which we will call them the muscle of self-regulating. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah, for example, let's say a person is in a good mood. They wake up in a good mood. And then you have just that person, one of your siblings, a friend, a family member, that when they say or do certain things that they keep on doing, they really get under your skin and they bring out within you irritation, upsetness, anger, etc., etc. And it's very convenient, and it's wrong. It's wrong. It's a mistake. We trick ourselves to think, I'm good. I'm good. You get me deregulated. If I were to think that, all I need to do is to make sure I'm not around that person, because I'm regulated. I'm good. What Hashem does, and it just takes people many, many, many years to experience that, so don't worry, hearing that from me won't help you or won't exempt you from doing your work. You will not be enlightened the way we all wanted to be at your age to say, now that I know that, doesn't work. But it's good to know the map. It's like when you have to go from here to there and you have a map, or today you have Google. So you have to drive it. You have to do it. So just because you see where you're going doesn't mean you don't have to do the work. So what happens is that we begin, we all begin with an attempt of being in an environment that's conducive to whatever it is we think we want to be. And I'm going to give that environment the name of a king. If someone else responsible for me, the environment, my parents, the teacher, the school, the setting, and we add, it's like by a king. You know, the king was the one that made the choices for me. People were very, you know, an American hears about the monarchy and we say, what kind of monarchy? I want to be free. Yes and no. We want all of the benefits of freedom, but I don't think we really own up to the responsibilities that freedom demands of us. And for that, it's very convenient. I want to be free where it's convenient, but where I don't want to do my part, I want to submit to the king and let the king build a road. Why should I build a road? I'll pay the taxes, but I'm not going to do it. Let the king take care of his enemies. Let the king deal with my enemies. I'm going to just live safely in the city, and I'll pay the dues, and I'll give up my freedom, and I'll give up my freedom. We all do this. As long as I don't have to self-regulate. It's very difficult to self-regulate. But it all begins when we understand that this is where we need to go. We need to grow into that muscle. And when we properly learn how to self-regulate, no matter the setting, and God will test every one of us, and God will press every button, especially if that's the intent, to challenge us to be our very best. We meet God when we are our very best. And everything in the environment will go south to see whether we are willing to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Okay, this is a synopsis of what I would like to share. And I'm going to start with a beautiful story. Again, I'm just lamenting in public that we, the men in the religious school system, did not learn enough Nach. And every single story here is gold. And it's so gold that you can read it and enjoy it. Even as a two-year-old, it's like, wow, what a nice story. Maybe I don't get why I need to know this, but it's very captivating. And it's way beyond that, of course. This is the Torah of Hashem, and there's so much wisdom in it. We did not have a king up until Shaul HaMelech. He was the first Jewish king. The word king, I'm talking now to myself, it took me a long time to realize that the word king, in my opinion, does not insist on a monarch. The word king means a government. That's the way I would understand now a king. Can you imagine living in a country where there is no government? I would say that a Beis Din, and that's something I'm happy bringing up, a Beis Din. Beis Din has zero power.
Mm-hmm. They can't put people in jail.
I'm talking and about
not, now.
I'm talking about end. We never had. It wasn't based on that system. We'll get back to that. A Beis Din nowadays is exactly what it's meant to be. And what is a Beis Din? A Beis Din only has influence if people will choose to subject themselves to the influence, to the opinion of the Beis Din.
So only if they're righteous themselves, pretty much.
Yeah, it depends how you define righteous. In other words, this is not religious related, even though righteous sometimes amongst religious people is observance related. I don't want to associate it with observance. Righteous means that if two people are both willing, really willing to do the right thing, and I would say that most of the people in the world today are there. People really want to do the right thing. But there is a question as what is the right thing to do? Just tell me what the right thing, and I'm willing to sacrifice as long as I am convinced that this is the right thing to do. And when I know that I'm subjective to me. So just a typical case where I'm having a money dispute with you. A lot of money, whatever a lot of money means. Or a little money. Some people, a little money, a lot of money. They don't want to know, you know, I'm very charitable. People are very charitable, but I want to know that if I'm doing something out of charity, it's charity. It's not my duty. And the other side is saying, oh, I owe them the money. And I'm being as honest as I could with myself. And what I see is that whatever it is that happened, bottom line is, I don't owe you the money. And you're insisting that I do owe you the money. That will be a good case where both of us will agree to go to a person, ideally two of three people, because no one is perfect. Even the objective person is not objective. And say like this, I want to do the right thing. The other person wants to do the right thing. I'm submitting to your judgment, Shoiftim. But it's not like that person will force a side to do what they're saying. No. The name of the portion is Shoiftim. Historically, we needed to have police. Shoiftim v'shoitrim. A police is already in the non-perfect society where people will only theoretically say what I'm saying now. It's very easy for me to sit here and say, yeah, yeah, I want to do the right thing. As long as that great wise man or woman will come and tell me, in the Beis Din, three Dayanim will come and tell me this is the right thing to do. I'll do it until when the story really happens. And then we'll find out whether I'm going to be so righteous or whether I'm going to all of a sudden understand that these people are not that learned and they made a mistake. And I'm going to all of a sudden start justifying why I don't want to give. So then you need to have a police's government. In the ideal world, I'm not saying that we live in the ideal. In the ideal world, we don't need a government. We need great education, good education, where people self-regulate, where people can judge themselves. If I am able to judge myself, I don't need an outside person to come and judge me. I only need I'm going to call the outside judge a king who's coming with power, because if I'm not mature enough to really, really judge myself, then there's going to be a clash between the right thing and what I think is the right thing. And who will win? The one who's stronger. There's going to be a power struggle. A society needs to have a king because people are people, because people are human, all to human. People are not the way ideally we could be and the way we will be at some point.
So did it go down?
So it went down, very good, by the Jewish people. After experiencing the downside of living in a society that is ruled by a very strong government, which was Egypt, we were the lowest rung in the ladder. We were the slaves, and we were stuck in that. There was no escaping that. When people experience that, and they're offered a different way of being, the other way of being cannot function unless one is willing to do to self in a healthy way what an outside ruling power would do to them. It's either you self-regulate or you have to be in an environment where someone is gonna somehow, from the outside in the worst case scenario, I mean, this was underdeveloped people. I mean, you can live in a society where people use force to regulate society. Force would mean, for example, if you steal, you're going to jail. And jail is horrible. Or whatever other type of punishment that will be given to you, whether you like it or not, with your will or against your will, that keeps people in check. People need to be kept in check. What type of person? A person who's unable to self-regulate. It's nothing. Nothing in life is completely extreme, one side or the other. In every society, to some degree, people learn how to keep themselves in check. And when people are honest and they know that I have a limit to how much I can do that, and in certain circumstances, under certain conditions, the temptation of doing the wrong thing is so big that I'm not ready yet to self-regulate, then I should submit to a king that will regulate me with the full knowledge that I'm working on crutches, that I'm not developed yet. The bottom line is I want to behave properly. So that's the bottom line. So ideally, I would like to do it to myself. If I can't self-regulate, then I would love to be in a setting, in a government. I want to submit to the king, whoever the king is, and let the king regulate me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the Jewish people asked for it, right? Like Hashem didn't say this is what is good.
What the Jewish people said when we were in Egypt, we needed to be so fed up with Egypt for us to ask for freedom for so much, that when freedom was given to us, and when we began to experience the great responsibility of freedom, which is the story of everyone's life over here, mamish, you know, you grow up in a great family, but still, every child, not that you're a child, when you grow up, you say, there are certain rules that I don't like. But it's still worth it to be part of the family because you get a lot of things. And then when people become older, they begin to, I need freedom. And they're going to rebel against those rules that, for whatever reason, was not well experienced by them when they were younger. Okay, so now you're free. Now what? And look at this today's society. Freedom without self-regulation is just as bad as being enslaved to Pharaoh. You kidding? At least by Pharaoh, I have the sheket of blaming it on him. I'm miserable because of Pharaoh. Only I would not be forced to build bricks, I would have a great life. And it's crazy making. Give that person full freedom. They have to build nothing. They have to do nothing. In most cases, you're going to have a very miserable, depressed, crazy, ultimately destructive human being. Look at our world. God is giving us that taste. It's almost like we went from Egypt to the extreme in the wrong direction. Not from Egypt to Sinai, where there are rules, and God is giving us the credit by saying, regulate yourselves. God actually never insisted for there to be a government. In the Parsha, it says, no, you don't need a government. You need to have a good educational system, and you have to have judges, ideally without even police. I don't believe that there were police in the desert. You didn't need police. That was a very beautiful society where people were into learning, they were into looking, they were pursuing the emes. There was a lot of disputes. They went to Moshe Rabbeinu. I know this because we experienced by the Rebbe. The Rebbe, you know, didn't have any power. The Rebbe had influence. No one needed to listen to him. And the Rebbe, more than others, if one would not listen to him, even he would cut you all the slack for the good and bad. He would not say, you didn't listen to me. So I'm not going to answer the next time you write to me. He didn't do that. He didn't see himself to be that. He was Avos Yisrael. If someone asked him a question, he did the best he could to share his advice. And many, many people did not listen to his advice. And he gave them the same attention and advice the next time they came around. The beauty of having a Rebbe, Shoiftim, or prophet, that was the era of the Shoiftim, is that they were not a government. There was no force, no coercion. You know how great that is? Freedom.
No one was put to death?
It was put to death. It went downwards when people realized what I would not do well in such a system. Ask yourself a question. How would your day look like if there was nothing from the outside of you, there was no societal obligation on you? I don't even know if it's possible, but if that were to be, because all of us, right? You're a child, I'm a parent. I have responsibilities to my family. That's an outside almost. In other words, how many people say, when I'll retire, when I won't have that responsibility, then what? The MS, you'll find out. Most people will go out of their minds. I'll tell you more, most people die. The reason why the Rebbe was so strong in don't retire. It's amazing. I have videos of people.
Don't retire.
Oh, don't retire. Retire. I don't know what you thought I said, but whatever.
Tired. Don't
be
tired.
No, don't be tired. You're tired. In other words, the Rebbe Bachal, you get older, you have to know how to accept perhaps new limitations. A person gets a little bit weaker. Okay, so instead of working X amount, work a little bit less. That's important to live in reality, not to make believe you're 20, however that expresses itself. But retiring, all the people that I know that retired, they lost their minds. They got dementia. They mamish lost, and why do people do that? For why? And compounded with the fact, I'm getting off topic, but it's a good topic because, you know, not because you guys, because I'm already seeing that, you know, when you're younger, you're looking at the beginning. At some point, middle life crisis means that your point of reference is your birth. You're always looking at your beginning point. At some point, your point of reference is your death. And it's a big shift, and that's the crisis, and it changes everything. So, and from that perspective, yeah, it's good to see what's coming. What's coming is that we get older, we lose a certain sharpness, we lose a little bit of energy, God willing, not that much. It has to do with the choices that we make now, how God wants us to take care of our health. I wish there were more religious people that were more health conscious, because that would represent what God wants even better. Not to an extreme, but all of that is part of Yiddishkeit. The right balance between taking care of the neshama, which is the main part of our life, but we also have a body. So we have to eat healthy, we have to sleep healthy, we have to take care of ourselves. But I'm coming to the fact that people that misunderstand freedom, like what would you do if you would not have any responsibility? You can be honest, nothing, your mother won't know.
Yeah, no judgment here.
No judgment here. You don't have to answer to me. So most people, they have this image of things will be so wonderful. One second, you're not there yet. But how would you be if you would do nothing?
No school.
Nothing. Employees. Most people that I know,
they would go out of their mind.
They would go crazy, and they would become very destructive. Ironically, even though, why didn't you spend your time learning and doing exercise and working? Most people need something outside of them, and I'm going to call that the system of a government. Melech. I need a melech. They need a external structure. We all need structure. But the question is this structure being imposed? Now, there are many levels to that. There's the worst level in a dictatorship, in Pari Melech Mitzrayim. Correct. We don't live in that type of structure, in that type of... There isn't such an imposition on a governmental level, hopefully. At least not yet. But there's plenty of structure that is external. External structure. And the goal is to graduate from less external structure to more internal structure. That's what I mean by self-regulating. Give a person freedom and find out what they'll do. Put yourself in a place, if you have that luxury, just for 2 or 3 days, and you'll be shocked. We'll be shocked in how much we can still grow. Very few people would I don't mean utilizing every second the wrong way. That's crazy making. No, giving yourself the right amount of rest and putting yourself and undertaking the right amount of responsibility. I don't think we're not ready for that yet. That's why God makes it so that we are born in family, so there's external structure. And then at least in the more religious world, we get married younger. And in the non-religious world, people are being educated to really pursue a career. Okay, good. So they're in a structure. That's an external structure. We choose it, but we submit to it. If I am hired by that law firm as a lawyer, there's a lot that's demanded of me. And I get the luxury to kvetch. Oh, I wish I can go to sleep, but I can't. That's a lie, because the truth is that if I can, then I might have slept, instead of 2 hours, 8 hours. Most of us would do that. That's what I mean by self-regulation and everything. Same thing emotionally. We think we can self-regulate. If a person would be allowed to, I think we would cut ourselves too much slack. of acting out emotionally. I'm not even talking about behavior beyond what is okay, because we're in the mood of it. You see that in teenagers. They have that moment where there is less external structure. Right? Send your kid to Israel, and you never know, you're taking a gamble. Which is, there's less external structure, and that these people are not yet in the place in life where they submitted to their own structure. What do they do? Okay.
Can I ask a technical question?
Sure.
I think last week you may have mentioned, unless I misunderstood, that the reason why we appointed a king is because we didn't understand Hashem's ways, and so we needed them to be illuminated by the king.
That for that we had a prophet.
So
if I said that, I want to correct myself. Actually, the story is like this, that we had prophets from Moshe Rabbeinu up until Shaul. And when the people asked to actually have a real government, to be ruled by a monarch, Shmuel, the prophet, was very depressed. He understood that that's a rejection of him. That's the people at least being honest by saying that we're not strong enough to only have the seer, the illuminated one, the wise one. And once we have that, everything else falls into place. It's not enough. Now I can know that the right thing will be not to spend 10 minutes on Instagram. Forget about 2 hours. I know that's the right thing. An adult. And I cannot help myself. A melech will mean put a filter. Own the fact that you're not strong enough to self-regulate, to properly use your time, so then put upon yourself, submit to the king. And we needed a king. And here's how the whole story began. And I want to read this. Vayehi Ish, there was a man, either Mi Binyamin, from the tribe of Binyamin, his name was Kish, the son of Aviel, the son of Tzoror, the son of Bechoiras, the son of Afiach, the son of Binyamin. And this man Kish was Ish, was Gibor Choyel. He was a very strong man. A Gibor Choyel, when a Jew says strong, remember this, don't imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger, Hercules, Bechlanat. Strong means a person who knew how to self-regulate. Mm. That's strength. Always. He's a Gibor Pash strength. Person who knows how to, and I want to say like this, just to make it clear, self-discipline, For many people, can be too extreme to the other end. It's also not self-regulating. Mm-hmm. It takes a lifetime to get it right, without doubt, if we get it right. Okay. V'loi choy ben, and he had a son, and his name was Shaul. Shaul then was Bachar, that means he was young. V'toiv means he was good-looking. V'ein ish m'bnei Yisrael toiv m'menu. There was no one amongst the whole Jewish people that was better than him. He was shoulders above everyone else. He wasn't just a little bit. He was superior to all the other people. Now, what happened? They were poor. And his father had a few donkeys. And the donkeys were lost to his father Kish. So Kish told his son Shaul, I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to give you a worker. You should not be by yourself. The kum lech, get up and go bakesh eso asoinis, and go look for the donkeys. Looking for donkeys. And they went to Mount Ephraim, and they went in the land of Shalisha, and they didn't find it. They went to Be'eret Sha'alayim v'ayim. V'yavar Be'eret Simini v'lo motso. First of all, someone... Like, when do people give up? That's a good question. When should you give up? That's a good self-regulating question. Because when you have someone that's expecting something of you to find something, there comes a point that if you are only doing it for them, because you have to, I have the best excuse. I looked, I didn't find it. Now you're responsible to yourself. He went for 3 days. Then they came to the place called Tzuf. Like, every detail has to be written for a reason. And Shaul told his nar, he told him, let's go back. Okay, how do you know when to give up? So this is so wise. So he says, why is he saying, let's go back? Because pen yechdal avi minho asoinois v'da aglano. My father
will
be worried about us. First of all, his humility, not about me. He put himself and the worker. We have workers. For those of us who are lucky, we have people that work in the house to respect them. I remember when I just got married, and Steri and I were in Hong Kong, and we were Shabbos there was in a Jewish club, and there were waiters serving us, and there were all different types of Jews that were there, and I made a comment that was subtly, it showed the truth, that I looked down at the waiters like a waiter, like I'm the rabbi, and this man was so good. You see, this is a gift from God, even though it was very difficult to listen. He pointed that out to me. He didn't have to shout. He was older than me. And from then, that set me right, thanks to him. I don't even remember his name. Mm-hmm. Remember other things about him. He was a convert. A lot to learn from him. So, look at the Shaul says, and what he says, the whole purpose for the donkeys, it's about money, but it was about emotion. He didn't know, his father was worried. There's an emotional part to it, a side of the financial. He was already looking at the deeper. This is not to minimize money, God forbid, but this is to put the spiritual superior to the physical. So my father is worrying about the donkeys. He felt that if we won't return now, then my father will worry something happened to us. So what good is it by fulfilling this goal when the problem is bigger than the solution? The problem is Gavaldik. I like that way of thinking. So he decided to go back. And this lad, so Shaul was the greatest man. There was no one like him. Who came up with the idea? Not Shaul. Just show you. The helper. The helper tells him that there is a godly man in this city. He was called the seer. That's Shmuel. Can you imagine going to a prophet? Not like I said, who's right and who's wrong. You're going to a man to say, listen, I'm looking 3 days for donkeys. God gave you like a sixth sense. Can you see where the donkeys are? I love this. I love every part of the story. Chassidim were very good at this. Because the Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe would complain. Chassidim are coming to him to ask him to give them advice about finances. He says, that's what I am. He says, if you would come to me and you would ask me spiritual advice, what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing? You're asking me, should I buy this business or not buy this business? And Chassidim would answer from this story. That's telling the Rebbe, you don't fly in the heavens. We're human beings. We have to make a living. You're my Rebbe. God gave you a gift. Hello. Don't only live in the heavens. Come live to earth. So go ask Shmuel where the donkeys are. So Shaul tells this helper. He understood that when you go to this man, you have to give him something. Shmuel didn't charge, but you can't just go and to take and not to give. And he says, we ran out of food. We have nothing to give him. How are we going to go ask him? So the Nar tells Shaul, I still have a quarter of a shekel. Like two Nebuchs financially. They were not Nebuchs. They were the greatest people that we had. Reva shekel. I have something. Okay. Very good. So they're looking for the Roya. They're looking for the seer. As they're having this conversation, they're outside the city where Shmuel lived. And what happened was that there were young maidens that they left the city to get water from the water source, which was outside the city. Like Rivka, they came out, a bunch of young women. Vayoymer Lohen, Shaul and his Na'ar, his helper, told them three words. Hayesh bozeh horoya. Is the seer here? What did they give him? They gave him a whole Megillah. I want to read it because it's funny. Vatanena oisom. And these young women answered them. Vatoymarno. And they said, Yesh. Yes, he's here. That would have been the normal answer. And here they give a whole Megillah. And they say, Hine, behold. Hine lefonecha. Behold, he's in front of you. Maher, go quick. Atov, go quick now. Ki hayoyim bolir, because he just came. Ki zevach hayoyim. Why did he come? They're giving him a whole drasha. Why did he come? Ki zevach hayoyim la'am. Babama, because they are offering a carbon, even though there was no mizbeach, there was a way of bringing a carbon, because today they're bringing a carbon. And kivayachem o'ir, if you'll enter the city, came timtzu oisa, you'll find it, but you find him right away. Beterem yala abamasa, before he'll go up on the platform to eat from the carbon. Once he's already eating, it won't be nice for you to go and disturb him with whatever you want to ask him for. And he's going to go on the platform because no one will eat until he will bless the zevach. Here in America, a minig hamoitzi by the non-religious people. Make hamoitzi. Ever saw the simcha? They have a whole meal, but they only begin eating after they honor someone by making a blessing, which we do the same thing, but it's just like a formality. The whole, there's a carbon. The seer is going to be the one blessing the carbon. Only then will all of the cold people eat. And they're talking about ata, alu, go up. You, to him, like today, you'll find him. The Gemara asks in Brachas, why did they have to say all of this? Is the man in the city? Yes. No? Just a yes or no? What's wrong with a yes or no? And the Gemara gives three answers. First answer is, this is not a dig, that women talk. Ki anoshim. Yeah, so when you read it in yeshiva, you say, yeah, like the guys, like we're talking down. It's not that. It means that God put it in the nature. Men and women are not the same. And what men communicate is the seer here? Three words. It's a very down-to-earth reality. And they gave a whole story. That's one answer. The other answer is that he was beautiful. Shaul, he was handsome. The Gemara says that, and they wanted to talk to him. Down to earth. And the third answer I want to focus on, the third answer Rabbi Yochanan says, is because since this led to the transition of leadership with a prophet, that I'm going to call self-governance, and they went down into submitting to a monarch, God did not want for that to happen until it needed to happen, and not a second earlier.
So it was like being prolonged.
So these women intuitively, they sensed, their neshama sensed, that this show coming to play is a step down. We have to go a step down. It's like at the end of a vacation, just a mashal. You know you're going home, but you're leaving Israel, and it's so amazing, and we have to go back to life. Every second counts. It was something they felt that let's delay, not delay. It wasn't yet the time, the Gemara says. And this ruler and that ruler, it's a different system. It's either or. In Be'emes, it's both. We have both. But the concept, it's two different concepts. And don't mingle one with the other. And we're extending.
But didn't they tell him to rush?
Yeah, the Gemara says.
But they said, rush, if you don't go right now.
It's ironic, right? The whole funny, that if you would think about it, right? If they would want him to rush, they would answer with the, go rush.
Yeah, right.
They don't stop talking. That's the irony, that's all of us. That what we say and what we do, what we say and what we do, always contradict each other. If you begin with that, you'll see the world different. That's a rule.
Quick question, was there a lot of chaos and that's why they needed a ruler and a government?
I don't think there was chaos I don't think there was more chaos than now at all. I think the Emes, if you really think about it, okay, let's go dark, we're very chaotic. We're chaos, we're living in chaos.
Yeah.
And we don't even admit it. Why don't we admit it? Because there are external reasons, there are always external triggers. Not causes, triggers, big difference. And we have what to blame. Every person, the people that I know are convinced that the chaos in our lives, not me, no, I'm, and everyone adds, they make it worse. I'm not perfect. When they do that, they're finished. Because then they don't let you, they don't mean it. No, I am not perfect, period. That's the beginning of the truth. But to make sure that no one points me there, well, I know I said I'm not perfect, but I am perfect. But I'm normal. But I'm not chaotic. I'm very regulated. I'm regulated. The only reason why I'm always depressed is because of you. The only reason why I'm always crazy or anxious or we have a lot of stuff, and you point one finger to the other, three fingers to you. But we don't notice that. We see the other. A monarchy is a blessing and a curse. A monarchy is a blessing that since I am unable to regulate myself, so when you have an external structure, the external structure keeps me in check.
So in a way, they had self-understanding. They were understanding what they needed.
Or first of all, yes. In addition, the beauty of God is that in God's compassion to us, no matter how much self-awareness we have or not, Hashem works with us. And Hashem puts us where we need to be. A lot of it is not experienced as pleasant, but it's where we need to be. So we needed the king. And when Shmuel cried out to God and he told God, they're rejecting me, God says, they're rejecting me. And God was telling Shmuel, that's no reason not to give the people what they need. Because abnegating responsibility, which we are all so good at, is a rejection of God. That means if God gave me the responsibility, now is the time for me not to be humble, which is selfish, not humble. Okay, let me do what's upon me to do. Now, when people are younger, we rightfully so, we want to keep our children in a more pure environment. That's our duty as parents. But we are then kings because the child is just a child because they cannot yet self-regulate. And deeper and deeper and deeper, as we grow through life, I think all of us, we physically grow up when we're teenagers. And we start growing up, and now I can say when you're in your 50s, and when I'll be 60s, I'll throw it to the 60s, or whatever the age will be. And up until then, we're still very young. And it's a big shift to really look inwards in a healthy way, not in a very judgmental way. Okay, I'm crazy. Because if I'm not going to allow myself the humanity of, well, I'm upset because you said something upsetting, when you said something very upsetting, and that's too much for me to handle. Oh, you're a trigger, and I'm human, and now I'm angry, but it was already in me. Or whatever it is that I'm dealing with, whatever feeling I have that's triggered by the other are feelings that is already in me, independent of the other. It's a one-liner, and everyone can say it like I can say it. I'm talking to myself, but really absorbing that is a life-changer way of thinking. Prior to absorbing it, I am living under a king. In the case that I gave, the other who triggered me is my king. That's basically what I'm saying. You're my king.
Interesting. So do you think that if one self-regulates and the part of the shoftim isn't necessary anymore because we don't need external...
No. I don't interrupt you, but since we're being recorded, what I'm trying to propose is that shoftim actually means self-regulating, and I have a reason for that. Okay. Because shoftim, according to all of the old mystical commentators, shoftim clearly is that I have to be a judge at my seven gates. We spoke about the gates, and there's so much Kabbalah about that. I have eyes, I have ears, I have a nose and a mouth. And Bekitzer, hold your question. I don't want to... That eyes, seeing, we spoke about it a little bit last week, and there's so much about that, is the wisdom that God gifted us with. Like, to really see. Like... You are the seer. Don't delude yourself that you're Shmuel. No, you're not. But the capacity of being like him, we all have. That God put in us, like, really the ability to see. And that which we are not yet able to see, we can understand, we can hear. So seeing and hearing, Alpi Kabbalah, Chachma and Bina. These are the two faculties of the mind that we have. According to this model, the nose, which is scent, is connected to all of the emotions. one of the biggest triggers to emotions is scent. Mamish. And that's the aromatherapy. And that's actually, according to our tradition, the book of healing that is hidden, written by King Solomon, that has a remedy for every ailment, is all aromatherapy. Because illness is emotion. In other words, the physical illness comes from the step above it. The step above it is some emotion that's distorted, that's deregulated. So to regulate your emotions as a king, this is external. You smell something, ah. So the nose represents the emotions, and the mouth represents what you do. Because in a spiritual world, speaking and doing is the same thing. God did the world by speaking. And judges means God is telling me and you that he is entrusting me that I will self-regulate. It's like God says, if you would be your highest self, you don't need a filter on your phone. You'll regulate what you see, what you hear, the time you spend on technology. You will regulate your emotions. Not by denying it, but self-regulating. A big part of it is not blaming on others. If I'm irritated, if I would really be MS, no one would be able to irritate me. Mamish. Wow. It's a very high level. And I want you to know that people on that level don't think that they're not, that they don't experience irritation. They do. But that's not their ego. Like big tzaddikim, they're mirroring the emotions in the heavens. In other words, don't think that God is not, so to say, what we're saying is not to be taken literally, but there are times of joy, like in other spiritual times of joy, like Shabbos and Yom Tov. These are different emotions. These are godly emotions. So a person who is, we're speaking about regulating the ego. A godly person, a tzaddik is not the same every day. That's boring. A tzaddik one day is happy, one day is sad, but it's not him. It's, so to say, godliness. That one day is like this, and one day is like that. There's a weekday, and then there's what we do. I mean, we begin, hopefully, regulating what we do. But all of that shoiftim is God's letting all of us know that we have within us the potential of self-regulating, of being a healthy judge for ourselves. And then God says in this week's parsha that whenever you feel it's not working, first of all, that's the first step towards it working is you knowing it's not working. No, I'm not mature enough. It's too much freedom. It's too much. I need structure. External structure is a king. And when you need a king, you tell God there's a rejection. And on the other hand, there's a stepping towards the emes. I was sharing a beautiful story that just came to me a while back. Just being emes. When the Rebbe was living, the Rebbe gave his life to us. The Rebbe gave his time to us. And he figured out a way. He used to give out dollars. And it took, the interaction was mamash a few seconds. And that allowed the Rebbe, for him, many, many, many hours of really interacting with thousands of people. It was mind-boggling. The concept and the tzedakah that came from it, and anyone with an urgent need. You see, when you have the luxury of having 2 minutes to talk, you talk for 2 minutes. When you are going by a seer, a tzaddik, and you have 2 seconds, it's amazing what you can resolve in 2 seconds. It means if whoever had a dire need communicated to the Rebbe in a very short amount, they put a lot of thought into it. There was a guy that worked by the Rebbe. Rebbe, bless me to be wealthy. Rebbe, bless me to be wealthy. And the Rebbe did not react towards it. At some point, the Rebbe asked him, why do you want to be wealthy? It's a good story. And this man said, I want to be wealthy to be able to support my family in wealth. The Rebbe told him, I'm making a very big, I don't know if this is true or not, but the story could be true. It's a great story regardless. I hope it's true. The Rebbe told him that the time for which your neshama came into the world was already finished a while back. You're married and you have kids. So in their merit, you have life because they need to be supported. If you will become wealthy, you, there's no need for you to be here. You think you're supporting them, they're supporting you. I believe if the story would have happened, if that man would have told the Rebbe, I want to be wealthy, Rebbe, because I want to be wealthy, he would have gotten a bracha for wealth. I think it was the sheker of, I'm a humble guy, I don't want to be wealthy, I have a wife, I have kids. It's that is the Yetzer Hara. And that's what the Rebbe called him out. The Rebbe felt, because I do know another Jew who asked for wealth and got wealth. And mamash, that I know. And that person was the most down-to-earth person. He wasn't pretentious. He wasn't making believe as if he's holier than other people. He came to the understanding that it's much better to be wealthy. I agree with him. Than not to be wealthy. Like this guy with the hidden donkeys. You're walking by a Rebbe. So let the other people engage with the Rebbe with holy things. Beautiful, and I'm not minimizing that. Adarabba, I'm sure the humble guy also. One of his kids live in LA. It's amazing what happened. The Rebbe gave him a bracha, and he became wealthy right away. And then he lost his wealth, and then he spent the rest of his life chasing the wealth, and that's a whole nother different story. But I want to come back. Was being emesdik? Like, was it a day that we when shoiftim, and in the parsha king, and this concept of almost like, hold on to your ability to self-regulate for another moment. That's the way I understand it. That these women had that intuition. Let's delay this process. And we are now going in the opposite direction without doubt. We are going in the opposite direction. The direction from completely relying on external structures. We're going away from that. The way I see it. Mamish. Let me word it this way. I really mean what I'm saying. I don't believe that if we would have grown up with the access that your generation has, I don't think the adult people over here would do nearly as good as your generation. Nearly as good. It's not like a lot more has to get done. It's unbelievable. How would we handle that? So much. There's so much self-regulation needed in what we see. This judgment. What am I looking at? And we know it, and it's so hard. Theoretically, it's so easy. In the emes, it's so difficult. And most of us should be emes. What's the emes? Put something that I can only use this for 2 hours a day. Like, why don't we all do that? Mama's thinking of doing it. Why? But I didn't do it yet. You see, talking about it is easy. Because basically what I'm saying is that I'm not strong enough to be able to self-regulate, to be a self-judge, but I know what the right thing is. So let me submit myself to a king, to a gimmick that shuts the phone down. That's a great hachlata. I'm saying that is where we went. And the out, and God says, "Oi, I expected more of you." But he won't say it to me. Because that will be, I'm not mature enough to hear that. He would say, you're amazing. Emes. And just to finish with the Emes, to know where we're at, and that's a beautiful video. I don't remember his name, but there is a video that comes out once a week. Many of us see it after Shabbos. Part of it is different people sharing their encounter with the Rebbe. And it's a very heartfelt story of a man who, to me, looks now to be in his 80s. He's an elderly man. Middle-aged man, however you want to call it. And he describes how he grew up in a single mom home in Brooklyn, mistamen in the 40s or maybe in the 50s, a while back. It was not as common as it is today. And how he was a very challenging child. And how he was kicked out of already 3 schools. He was a big troublemaker. He did everything wrong. And his mother was beyond. So, with nothing but to do, she took him to the Rebbe. So she had a yechidus with the Rebbe with him. And he describes how he walked into that room, in his mind, another rabbi, and he was such a rebel in nature. He'll be defiant. And his mother cried to the Rebbe, and he had no feeling, he said, for her. She was crying about him. And the Rebbe in the beginning began to minimize his misbehavior to his mother in Yiddish, that it's probably not this. And he interjected and he said, no. Mistama, he didn't mean it. I mean it. And he says the Rebbe looked at him and the Rebbe gave him a smile that warmed his heart and the Rebbe said, Emes.
Wow.
You're saying the truth. Huh. That you're good for nothing. But the Rebbe saw, he says he can't understand why. He understands, but it was beyond his understanding. That the Rebbe acknowledging the one virtue that I had, he says, I look back, which is, I was Emes. I wasn't going to be pretentious and making believe that I am ready to be a self-judge when I'm not there yet. Emes. That, he says, changed my life around.
Wow.
So, ideal a shoifet, if we need, let's appoint a king, whatever the king is, a structure that, so to say, that contains me. The ideal is to go back to the shoifet. And as long as we are truthful on this journey, then no matter where we're at, we're standing with God. That's the way I see it. All right.
Thank you.